post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio this week, we're joined by Russ Gibbs. How are you, Russ?
I'm very good, thanks, Eamon.
Great to have you here. And also Paddy Bordier.
Hey, well, Eamon, how are you going?
Great to have you back, Paddy, as always. Okay, and coming up in the first half hour, we're going to talk Socceroos, A-League, W-League, everything you like about football in and the World Cup, of course. You can email us, as always, nearpost2xx@gmail.com or catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And, of course, it's also available on iTunes. Now, you every week we dedicate the show. Sometimes it's a little bit light-hearted, but I guess this week is more serious. We dedicate the show to former SBS and 2KY radio commentator Paul Williams. Fans of football will know Paul was a tremendous football commentator who called the famous Australia-Iran game in Melbourne, along with a host of other things. And Paul passed away recently, had suffered apparently a long-term chronic fatigue and depression. And Les Murray on his SBS website has written quite a nice piece about Paul and tells you some of the details, but apparently lost his father and brother and girlfriend in a few years ago and sort of spiraled down from there. So sad to hear, but we dedicate the show to Paul. And I know as a Liverpool fan, always excited to hear when Liverpool scored a goal or were winning. So so one of Australia's few commentators back in the 90s, and of course things have changed now. So farewell Paul. Now a quiz question. Always like to get my folk on the other side, they're waiting on the edge of their seat.
I'm uncomfortable.
They're looking uncomfortable. They're sounding uncomfortable. Who are the seven teams to reach the last six World Cups in a row?
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
So who are the seven teams? We're on a bit of a World Cup theme with the Socceroos and all that sort of business. Who are the last seven teams to in fact I got this off the SBS World website, and they said there was only six teams, but dedicated football follower that I am, I thought that can't be right. So because
you checked it.
I checked it for the first, the first time in my life I checked it.
Checked one of the quiz
and
questions.
I found that SBS has made a mistake, so there are actually seven. So who are they? Come on, who's going to go first?
Brazil.
Brazil.
Just getting in quick.
Germany.
Yeah, Germany, surely.
I'm playing for England. Oh, no.
No, we didn't make it.
No.
Ross, can I just have that again?
No, we didn't make it. I love the way American ones, I think.
No, we didn't make it.
Did they take the option out, or did they try their best? I think they tried their best.
We took the option of Graham Taylor, and that was a bad option.
That was a bad option.
The last time England sort of made it was when they kind of got to host it, and that's the only way you used to get through, wasn't it?
Oh, we get there. We just lose on penalties most of the time.
Okay. So Brazil, Germany. We've got five more to go.
I'm going to go for Mexico because they're in an easy sort of qualifying group.
No.
What about the French?
Not Mexico.
The French, no.
No,
not the French.
French didn't make it.
Argentina, surely.
Oh, Argentina, yes. SBS missed them out.
Italy.
Maradona's
Italy.
Boys.
You're on fire now, Russ.
How many have you got now?
You've got four. You've got three to go.
Three to go.
Yeah. What about who'd have gone through?
Ireland?
No, don't be silly.
Oh. Unlucky. What happens if we combine with the North and South?
Last six World Cups in a row.
Come on. Football experts sitting across the other side of the desk.
What about Spain?
Well done, Russ
Gibbs.
Really?
Spain are in there?
Spain are in there.
Wow. They just performed very badly in World Cups.
Raul always misses 100 chances.
Yes. How many have we got left to go?
Yeah.
I've got two to go.
Two to go.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue.
It must be in South America.
Yeah, give us a clue.
I'd love to help you. Okay, go Asia.
Yeah, I was thinking Asia. Japan would be the obvious one.
Japan is not right.
But yeah.
Okay.
South Korea.
Absolutely, South Korea.
Yep.
South Korea always get to go to the World Cup. Lucky old South Koreans. And last one, it's not from Europe.
No.
It's not Australia.
No.
Come on, who is it?
And it's not New Zealand, right?
No. It's the World Cup is set up for them now.
Would it be?
We always want them there, don't we? So we fiddle the draw so they get there. Who is it?
what grouping stage they're coming from. North America?
Absolutely.
The Americans?
It's the Americans.
Oh, okay. No way. The last right. six?
Yeah. That can't be right. Yeah. Is that the one you looked up and
go
made
go and check your records.
Yeah, that's the one you added, yeah. isn't it?
No, Argentina was on SBS, missed out.
How did they miss that?
I don't know. SBS, what do they know about football? Anyway, okay, so there you go. That's fantastic news. News wrap. We've got heaps of, got a bit of news. What have we got?
All right. FFA announced a new sponsor today. Hugo Boss will dress our Socceroos at the World Cups.
Woo-hoo. Excellent.
Jan Vantership is the new coach of Melbourne Heart. I don't think any of us in Australia can say that yet, but anyway, there you go. He's former Ajax assistant.
Frank Farina, drink driving future in jeopardy, is Raw coach. Guess he hasn't heard any of the advertising over the last 20 years. And Eamon's put Danny. Can he not afford a taxi? I don't think he can.
No, it's I don't know. I mean, the Raw have Brisbane Raw have delayed their decision by 24 hours, so we don't know what's going on there. But we're guessing that they're waiting to put their coach straight in, and it's rumoured to be Paul Ocon. Poor old Frankie, we want you back. Now, Socceroos await Oman after defending against the Dutch for 90 minutes. We'll be talking about that in depth, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Vinny Grella is out of the Oman game.
Yeah, Perth's former Socceroos Coyne Stojowski and Burns are expected to leave on loan during the final series to ensure they get some time before the World Cup. Talk is that Pim seems there's no need to go anywhere.
Is there, because they won't be playing anyway. So,
what's the point?
No, stay home, lads.
All right. Gold Coast Supremo Clive Palmer collapsed outside Suncorp on Sunday. Given the recent Raw figures, were the ambulance people counted in the crowd or not? Joking aside, we wish Mr. Palmer well.
And Brisbane Roar and Gold Coast have both reduced their ticket prices as of yesterday, which Blind Freddy knows that if you put the price too high,
right,
people don't come.
Well, obviously.
Well, Blind Freddy's finally just
and when your sport's trying to establish itself, maybe you need a few people at the game.
And particularly when you're starting in the middle of the NRL and AFL season. So well done to the fantastic marketing departments at the Gold Coast and Brisbane.
And Blind Freddy.
That's why they're paid the big
Blind
bucks. The Qantas Joeys, otherwise known as the Southern Sharks, have maintained their unbeaten qualification campaign for the AFC Under-16 Championship. With a 6-0 victory over Laos in Canberra, they topped the group and expected to qualify on Wednesday, even though they were given a bit of a scare in the game I saw against Malaysia on Saturday, where they only came away with a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, but I think Malaysia lost to Laos.
They lost 6-0 to Laos after Australia beat Laos
7-0. 6-0 to Laos?
Mm.
So, wow.
That's an unpredictable group.
Yeah, Malaysia missed a penalty. Australia were 2-0 up. Malaysia missed a penalty and came back to draw 2-2.
Excellent match caller at that game ahead.
Oh, the ground announcer?
Yeah,
he's brilliant. And working up on those Malaysian names.
They're known as the Sutherland Sharks, obviously the Joes, because there's 7 players from one junior club in the Joeys. So, and Fiona Crawford writes a rap every week of the W League, probably the best rap going around, and it's on the 442 website. And Russ Gibbs, our very own Russ Gibbs, Lucy Zellich and Meryn Sherwood, and 2XX, the studio where the show comes from, call all Canberra home games. So you can catch the stream on www.2xxfm.org.au. And that's what more news than you could possibly wish or hope for on football in Australia on a Tuesday night. Now, we're going to talk about... Oh, I've got a question for you, because... It's that sort of thing. If New Zealand qualify at the expense of Bahrain in the World Cup, what will this mean for Wellington Phoenix? Now, the thinking behind that is if Bahrain don't qualify, there will be no teams from Asia or from the Middle East, more importantly, in the World Cup, and New Zealand would have nicked their place. And I think, Paddy, you...
And there's also the issue that the A-League has been essentially supporting the New Zealand team. I think there's like 6 or 7 players that have played or play for the Wellington Phoenix that are in the New Zealand team. So you could say we're supporting a team to take away a place from Asia.
And Mohammed bin Haman, the president of the AFC, you were saying, Paddy, that...
Yeah, there was an article on the World Game just saying that he'd made some comments around the issue that that we were essentially supporting a team to take that place from Asia.
Now, I know you're, Paddy, you're a bit concerned that, you know, you're not sure about Australia's footing in Asia and you think that might affect us, but I'm totally the opposite.
I lose sleep at night worrying that we'll get kicked out of Asia and we'll go back to the bad old days where, you know, we play 2 games every 4 years and we could barely get, you know, a club together.
And we all have to watch the Wallabies for our international sport.
Well,
no,
that's right.
That's not going to happen,
hope that they kick it a lot.
Those days are gone.
Yeah,
so
look,
I think we're safe.
I know you say that, but, you know, there is that chance. Are we really part of Asia? Are we embedded in Asia? I don't know if we're embedded 100%
yet. Yes, we're embedded.
I think the only reason they'd kick us out is if they're a bit worried that we're going to win all the competitions at every age group level.
Yeah, so I think...
there's no chance of that at the moment, is there?
And if it comes down to the fight, I think the A-League will get rid of Wellington before AFC.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think it's a bit fickle, really. I think, it's not as if Wellington are actually that much of a force anyway. It's not as if Wellington themselves, it's their fault that none of the Middle East teams can qualify.
Shane Smeltz could be the difference.
He is going to be the difference. I predict New Zealand are going to win.
Form.
On that note, can I just point some out, Eamon, that I'd mentioned this to you off air about the New Zealand Bahrain game and how things are reported a bit differently.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Fox Sports news headlines and it came up, said New Zealand hold Bahrain to 0-0 draw in World Cup qualifier.
Right.
And I flicked across to Eurosport to watch the goals from the European qualifiers where it said Bahrain rue number of missed chances in World Cup qualifier. So I was thinking, well, which was it? Did New Zealand hold out, or were Bahrain just a bit profligate in front of goal?
I think they were a bit profligate.
I did see one where the guy went clean through, ran the goalie, and he had a bloke square of him from 6 yards, and he hit the post.
But
all he had to do was square it to him.
The near post is totally behind New Zealand. This is New Zealand's November the 16th, 2005 moment.
Exactly right.
And we're behind them not just because we love New Zealand and we love everybody from New Zealand, but we're behind them because we hope to God Australia draw them in the World Cup.
How good would that be?
How good?
But Smeltz would score.
Well, he might, but I mean, Timmy surely would score. Now, we're going to talk about the Socceroos. The Socceroos played Holland on the weekend, 0-0. First of all, before we get into the Oman game coming up, your thoughts, gentlemen, on the Socceroos? Take it away.
Well, I don't know. You know, Holland really didn't give us much of the ball to play with.
They were a bit mean.
Yeah, they were a bit mean.
Now, a lot of people, Rebecca Wilson, the famous journalist, said friendlies are boring, but I didn't find that a boring game. I thought it was great to see the Dutch play with such... they played with pace and they played with skill. And what did you think? 0-0? Boring?
Yeah, look, I'll give you two perspectives here. I didn't mind the game. I liked seeing Netherlands A against Netherlands B. People keeping the ball on the floor. There was some good passing, and the Dutch had great touch in bad conditions and really pushed the ball around the field well. I was with some people who weren't necessarily football people, and they found that difficult to watch. They found the lack of attack and the lack of goals really difficult to take in.
You know people like that, do you?
Well, yeah, they were just sitting next to me. You know, they're not friends. I'll disown them
clearly,
now.
Clearly.
You're out.
But, so, anyway, from Australia's point of view, was there anything, Russ, what did you think? Was there anything that we could take positive from that?
They defended quite well, as they always do. I mean, the game, the team's built on defence. I'm concerned more than anything, and we've mentioned it here before, that going forward, we're very lightweight, and we just don't look like we're going to create the opportunities to score goals. And if you're going to win games at World Cup levels, you're going to have to score a goal. And when we've got someone like Brett Holman, who's not in a barn door,
it was
frustrating
to watch. Like, he ran his heart out, but couldn't we have had Nicky Carl? Maybe he doesn't run as much, but he might just create a few chances.
That's it. It's the creativity issue more than anything. But in saying that, the Dutch, like you said, kept the ball for a long period.
Yeah,
their one-touch football is fantastic to watch.
Okay. The one-touch football of Holland is great to watch. Could Nicky... You know, if we had played Nicky instead of Holman, how would that help the team in the sense that you need someone like Holman to chase and hurry so that we get the ball? Nicky wouldn't be near it. Would he? And I believe that playing Nicky in a game like that, who are you going to leave out? Okay, you're going to leave out Holman. Therefore, you've really got... Harry's not a great chaser.
Harry's maybe not a good chaser, but I think we've got the team. We've got a very fit team. We're a very fit sort of high-energy team.
We're not a high-paced team, though. I mean, when you put Grella and Kalina in centre-mid, and I think... I mean, people criticise that, and I think the reason we've got those two... I think that's the problem, not Nicky Cole. I think the problem is that we play two central midfielders, and I think the reason he plays it is because we don't have a Claude Makélélé or a Roy Keane to play that central midfield position. And also, I think he plays it because he's got Craig Moore and Lucas Neal, who, let's face it, at international level, you know, Craig Moore is a little bit of a liability and will become so more so, and even Kisnorbo. So I think he has to play two central defenders, central midfielders, because of the weakness of the defence. And I think once you do that, you've got no Kalina, Grella, Valeri. None of those guys have ever created a chance or scored a goal for the national team. And they're two, you know, and let's face it, most international players like Roy Keane or Makélélé, perhaps not so, but what Makélélé did, he could do what Vince Grella could do, but he could do it on his own. He didn't need Kalina alongside him.
But not many teams have those players. Like, Australia, we have to work within our limitations. We've always had that. We don't have an enormous range of players to pick with. We've got to work with the ones we've got. I think to sometimes that is to our advantage because we know what we can play with and we play to our strengths.
So Pim's doing that then, you're saying, Paddy. I mean, I would agree with you that he's setting his team out there because he's playing. We do have a lot of sort of central defensive midfielder players and we can close people down.
I see what you're saying, but... I think we can do it with Nicky Carl. Nicky Carl certainly hasn't had the time on the pitch to be able to prove whether he does or doesn't fit that.
If he'd have played Nicky Carl, and I'm suggesting that Verbeek would have seen Nicky over and over at training and whatever, in a training game situation and also for Crystal Palace, he's not going to be able to do the work rate that Holman does.
But I think the point being is that against an opposition like Holland, you can play those two because you're going to need that sort of player. Because like you say, if you have a Nicky Carl, he's going to get overrun with the way that they move the ball and the pace and their movement off the ball. When we come up against other opposition, then you've got to start playing the creative players because it's all right to have these two holding players. But when we've got the ball, what are we going to do with it?
So against Oman, we're at home now. If you read all the websites, we're going to attack, attack, attack.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means in an Australian. To me, that just means we're going to push the ball from Emerton high on to Kennedy and Cahill's going to be behind.
They're going
to
launch it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
They're going to launch it to Kennedy.
And that's the other thing.
I don't like that.
When we have Nicky Carl, when we have Kennedy, you don't necessarily need Nicky Carl because we've got somebody to target with the ball and we've got creation of some form. But we didn't have Kennedy, and when you don't have Kennedy on the pitch, you have to have somebody who can create it, and I think Nicky Carl's that player.
But if you don't have Kennedy,
yeah,
what are you going to do with Nicky? Who's going to play up front?
Well, you've got to play two up front.
McDonald, surely you'd play McDonald.
Well,
yeah,
but he's not here.
Well, yes, I'm talking theoretically.
Timmy Cahill might go up front again.
Timmy Cahill didn't impress me on the weekend, and I think he showed what he is. He's just a Premier League player. Can I say that with a bit of a tone?
He's just a Premier League.
But he is, isn't
just
he?
A
he
Premier
scores
League
goals
player.
For Everton, which is the second tier of the Premier League.
But are you doubting he'll score a goal against Oman?
When did they put tears in the Premier League?
He will score against Oman.
Haven't you seen this?
Don't you be hassling our Timmy. Timmy. Don't you be knocking Super Timmy with his Weet-Bix commercial.
What did he do on the weekend?
He didn't do so well, but look, what would we be without him? We wouldn't have
attacking
flair
in
the air.
Against Oman.
Yeah, he'll score?
Guaranteed.
Yes.
And it'd be a header.
Well, against Oman, if he doesn't score, then we haven't won 5-0, have we? So will we win?
Yes, we will win.
Absolutely. Yep. And I thought it was interesting on the weekend that they gave Vidicic some of the dead balls. I mean,
he needs to practice a little bit more.
Luke Wilsh has been taking them for years and he's never practiced.
Well, I think I see that stat they like to bring up a couple of times, the balls into penalty area stat. I love that stat because what it means is just we've knocked it in the box.
We've kicked it a long way and it's
landed
in the box.
Will he make the World Cup or is he one for the future?
He's one for the future, I think.
I think they might take him though. As the 24th man or whatever they take the
Yeah, but once you've got Bresciano and Kai guys back, then you know you've got to start thinking about leaving somebody out. But yeah, Paddy Cisnorbo, did you do anything for his place? He's gone.
Oh look, but he bothers me so much. Leeds, it's third tier. But what else have we got?
We've got Craig Moore at Brisbane Roar.
We do.
That's right. What else have we got? And Harry Kewell, is he really? Is he still a left winger? Did he take anybody on? Did he show any pace?
Well, everyone keeps saying about Harry Kewell, and all the people I was sat with going, "Oh, look how fit he looks." I've not seen Harry Kewell look that fit for ages, but I've seen him look less fit and be more effective.
Yeah. Are they confusing fit with thin?
Yes, perhaps, they are. I think it's time to move Harry from the left wing.
Yeah.
I think so.
Where would you put him?
Centre forward.
Right. Well, put him up front. Why not?
Put him at the point of the attack or just behind the attack?
Get rid of Josh Kennedy. Against the best teams, Josh Kennedy is not good enough. He showed that the other night. He wasn't able to hold the ball a la Viduka. He doesn't offer us enough. And it's time to change, as you say, the style of play. So, and take Kennedy out and you're less inclined to wham the ball up there. Kewell, you can possibly bring in a Holman or certainly Nicky Carl maybe.
I think Kennedy would have enormous impact coming off the bench in the World Cup because teams aren't set up to deal necessarily with a big, very tall striker like Peter Crouch. Coming off the bench might be his biggest impact.
Okay, there you go. Josh Kennedy compared to Peter Crouch.
I don't think it's the first time.
I don't think it is.
Do you think we'll play two up front tomorrow?
Yeah, because we'll play Cahill along further forward, won't they?
Yeah, but he always drops so deep that there's almost like a five-man midfield.
I think the difference will be... I think Edmonton will play.
We're playing at home. There's a chance we might go two up front.
Well, I think we need to. I mean, let's just go for it. I mean, they're not going to be that good, are they, surely?
They're not going to be that good. We're suffering from those sort of views.
Yeah, we're going to win because they're not going to be good. In fact, I was at the last
time.
We played them, and I was actually there. They're one of the few games I've ever attended. So in the Socceroos in the Asia Cup. Cup, Oman was our first game. We were 1-0 down and Timmy Cahill scored in the 90th minute. But apparently there's been lots of quotes from Brett Holman, Harry Kewell and Lucas Neal, and that saying, oh yeah, we thought we were going to win the Asia Cup. And when you saw the team that went out and how they played, what planet were they on?
Yeah, they might have thought they were going to win the Asian Cup, but maybe they should have actually translated a bit of that belief onto the field, because they were pretty poor.
Yeah, they seem to have left it behind. It was
there's belief, and then there's getting there.
I think there was, I was going to say a touch of arrogance. I think there was a lot of arrogance there, and maybe lack of research into their opposition.
Very quickly, because we've got to get on to the A League. If we lose tomorrow night against Oman, we'll be bottom of the group. Should Pimby sacked?
No.
Yes.
Aussie Pim. How Aussie dare Pim. You, Aussie Pim? What do you want, Farina to come back in?
Well, no, I'm a bit concerned that he doesn't really care about the Asian Cup, because he's not going to be there when the World Cup's over. So he's like, well, who really cares if we get a result?
Let's spoil his party then. If he spoils our Asian Cup, let's spoil his World Cup.
Yeah, no, let's really get stuck into him. That's that's the way.
What's he ever done for Australian football?
Aussie Pim must go. So I think we'll be right. I think we'll win and Pim will take us to the World Cup. Now, A-League, very briefly, we've got on the weekend, we had a few games. We had Melbourne Victory slaughtered by Sydney in front of 30,000, 3-0.
Slaughter for 6 minutes.
That's all
that
you
need. But what are 6 minutes?
As a striker, Russ Gibbs, you know, 3 goals in any minutes is good enough. Perth Glory beat Adelaide 1-0, Central Coast 1-0. North Queensland Fury 1, Brisbane Roar 0, Gold Coast 1. I guess we're a bit short of time, because I want to get to the women's game as well. But Russ, we'll just briefly go with the Melbourne Victory Sydney game. Great game in terms of the crowd and a Sydney performance to die for.
Yeah, 3 goals in 6 minutes. I mean, they just looked in that 6 minutes. That looked like the proper Sydney team that we've been hoping to see for quite some time. They got the width on the ball, which they didn't get last year. They got some balls into the penalty area, and when they had their opportunities, they were clinical.
They
finished them really well. And I mean, Aloisi wasn't there, and I think Mark Bridge was excellent. I mean, the 2 goals he took, just full of confidence.
And one thing you can say about Alex Bross is clinical.
He finally scored the goal.
Yeah, you might have some other words around that. Maybe might be in there. Yeah.
They finally got, you know, he's off mark now. So, you know, I thought they played quite well.
I think Carol Kissel was all playing wide on the right instead of centre. Again, it's this, you know, McFlynn and Isolik much stronger in the midfield, and allows Kissel with his fancy dancy stuff to sort of play a little bit more peripheral, but perhaps a more, you know, it doesn't matter if he makes so many errors out there, and perhaps more creative in that role, not so important in terms of defending, releases him a bit more. And with Kofi Danning to come back, I mean, you've actually suddenly, they've got a bit of a team happening.
They're looking very good, aren't they?
Yeah,
they look very sharp.
Yeah, I like them. Although, having said that, Melbourne had their chances, you know, over the whole game. I mean, Melbourne,
well, they're
actually
going to create chances, aren't they, with the team that they've got. I think that they missing Danny Allsopp myself. I mean, I don't think they're the same team without him.
No, I disagree totally.
Check your scores.
When
Danny Allsopp was there.
We'll talk next week, I think.
Well, no, they've won the 2 away games when he was in there, and they won the previous week. So, no, I think they're a more exciting team without Danny.
You think so?
Yeah, because they've got Robbie Cruz, Nate Fabiano.
I think it was just a horrendously bad 6 minutes for them.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Melbourne anyway. Let's put that out. Sorry to everybody out there from Melbourne.
No, that's okay. So this week, Adelaide Sydney is on Friday night. I mean, I love my Friday night football. I think I mention this every week. But Friday night football from Adelaide, that should be a good crowd, a good stadium, should be a great game. Brisbane versus the Central Coast. Cheap tickets there, if ever there was. Mm-hmm. North Queensland versus Wellington. Newcastle, Melbourne and the Gold Coast, even cheaper tickets, versus Perth.
That should be a good game.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, that's
the mighty Perth.
Second v third, they're both on 17 points. What do you think?
Gold Coast at home, I think they'll win.
Perth, they're really starting to come into their own now.
Andy Todd got sent off, so he won't be there.
Smeltz is back, isn't he?
I think Shane Smeltz
is back. Yeah, everybody's back. It's nice to have everybody back this weekend, isn't it? All the young boys, all the old boys.
It'll be nice.
See, that's an interesting, another quick point about playing games on the same weekend as international matches. I mean,
no, we don't have time for that quick point. It is an important
maybe
next week, the week after next. But yeah, and I had some very other important point to mention, but I won't mention it because I can't remember what it was. Okay, we want to talk just very briefly, a wrap with the W League. Russ Gibbs is probably the only radio commentator of the W League in the whole of the country, maybe the whole of the
continent. World.
Maybe the whole,
whole of the world.
Maybe the whole of AFC.
You even go so far to say the word expert.
I would say expert. Absolute expert. Russ, so what are your thoughts? You've seen Canberra United, obviously. You've seen Brisbane and Sydney after a couple of weeks in. How are you looking? How's the league looking?
Well, Brisbane Roar, obviously, looking like the team to beat once again. They're looking very strong. They haven't conceded a goal yet. They won both their matches. They only got up 1-0 on the weekend, but I think that was more to do with the fact that Melbourne played particularly well. Central Coast are up there with them. They've won 2 from 2 as well.
They've got a few international foreign players, have they? Central Coast?
Central Coast, they've got a couple in there, yeah. I mean, they've got a few. Sydney had looked good on the weekend. They've got the two Danish girls in the middle of the park, Julie Rydell and Catherine Paskey. And they actually were really, really good on the weekend.
And
they
Canberra
were
down. I mean, Canberra last season were the runners-up, but obviously bottom of the table. And I think, is that where they're going to end up down the bottom half, do you think?
I think they've played two of the best teams in the league so far, Brisbane and Sydney. I think they're going to both be up there. And I think Canberra's main problem is that they're struggling for goals. And they've lost Caitlin Munoz through injury. She's the assistant coach now. She scored 4 goals last year. Sasha McDonald got 3 or 4 goals last year. Cara Mowbray as well. They've both left. Amy Chapman weighed in with a couple. She's also gone. So they're left with a very young-looking side, which has got the ability to create chances, and they did on the weekend. But whether they got the cutting edge to put them away remains to be seen, really.
The scores on the weekend from the W League were?
Perth Glory 1, Newcastle Jets 0. Colette McCullum scored that goal. The game I was at, Canberra United 1, Sydney FC 2, Sarah Walsh with a second in 2 games, and Catherine Paskey with the second goal. Ellie Brush replying in the 90th minute. That's her 4th goal for Canberra. She's now the leading goal scorer of all time for Canberra United. There's a little fact for you. Melbourne Victory 0, Brisbane Roar 1, Ellen Beaumont's goal 7 minutes from time there, and Central Coast Mariners 2, Adelaide United 0, Trudy Camilleri and Ashley Connor scoring the goals for Central Coast, which leaves them and Brisbane both undefeated from 2 rounds on 6 points. Melbourne Victory, Sydney, Perth 1 win each. Adelaide, Newcastle, point each, and Canberra bringing up the rear with no points.
So this week we've got Adelaide versus Melbourne, Newcastle versus Sydney, Perth versus Canberra United, and Brisbane Roar, top of the table clash versus Central Coast. Now, Central Coast are predicted to be way down the table, but with Keir Simon leaving, but obviously they've proved me wrong. How do you think that clash of the round, Brisbane Roar versus Central Coast, will go?
Well, it's a chance for Central Coast to prove that they're not there just because they've won a couple of games against weaker opposition. It's going to be a real tough one for them away at Brisbane. Can't see them winning myself.
Hey, they beat Sydney FC. That's not weaker opposition. But
It was a good result. I think Sydney missed a lot of chances in that first week.
I think they did. All right, so have you enjoyed the games for us so far?
Yeah, I have, actually. The game on the weekend, the Canberra-Sydney match, was a really good advert for women's football. It was played with a good pace, good opportunities for both teams, and a lot of talent on display.
Okay, all right. So the final wrap then. We wish Frank Farina well, whatever happens to Frank.
Whichever way it goes. Yeah,
whichever way it goes. And tomorrow night, prediction from the AFC Asian Cup qualified iron in Melbourne. Stick your neck out.
1-0 to the Socceroos.
1-0? I'm not watching a game that's 1-0. God, I just
add a couple more to that. I'm going 3-0.
3-0.
3-0.
Okay, well, that's great.
It never happened.
who's
going to score the goals?
Tim Cahill's going to get one.
Yeah, Brett Emerson's back. Harry's on fire. It's all going to happen, isn't it?
Were they on fire?
There'll be an own goal in there somewhere.
Did anyone watch on Saturday?
Paddy Kisnorbo.
There you go.
Okay, so Paddy Kisnorbo, if you are listening, and if you are going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.